We've been telling you about a new project we have here called 50 States. We're visiting cities and towns around the country to hear how globalization is affecting you. And today we head to South Bend, Indiana, population 101,000. The city was once a thriving center of industry, but 6 years ago, Newsweek listed South Bend as one of the top 10 dying cities in the U.S. Now the city's leaders are hoping to leave their history of manufacturing behind by literally rebuilding a piece of it. Here's the world's Jason Margolis.
Go to a minor league baseball game to watch the South Bend Cubs play, and you'll get quite a view. Just across the street, a long six-story building with broken windows looms over the ball field. It's the old Studebaker factory, which stopped building cars in 1963. The cavernous factory is largely abandoned now, except for construction workers. I walk through with South Bend's mayor, Pete Buttigieg.
We think about the big three now, but we used to have a big four. Studebaker was a major, major American auto company. And we were kind of a company town for that. People know about us because of Notre Dame, but the truth is we really grew up around industry. I figure the reason this building's here is it's the one building that was so big that nobody could afford to blow it up.
Buttigieg isn't your typical Rust Belt mayor. He was elected at age 29. He's openly gay. He graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Harvard, was a Rhodes Scholar, and served with the Navy in Afghanistan.
So I had to take a leave of absence from the mayor's office in order to serve.
Under his guidance, community leaders are looking to transform the old Studebaker plant into a center of high-tech innovation. They're calling it the Renaissance District. Shane Fimble's company is overseeing its construction.
To the left here, this is what we're calling the International Thought Institute.
Fimble imagines luring both high-tech and manufacturing here from across the globe.
And I think, you know, the simple message is South Bend's open for business. We have the infrastructure in place. We have the leadership and talent here. And it's really about how do we take our next material step forward and create the next platform for an innovative city.
Why would they choose South Bend over Newton, Iowa or Detroit, Michigan?
I think what you have here is a city in the middle of the United States that is just the right scale.
That's the mayor again. He says South Bend is small enough to test big ideas. Another advantage here, a lot of so-called dark fiber, essentially unused fiber optic cables. A major corridor travels from New York to Chicago, conveniently passing right under our feet.
We sit on one of the richest concentrations of fiber optic cable throughway in the country.
A good selling point. But lots of cities have similar selling points, says economist Dave Swenson at Iowa State University, adding some tension to the South Bend comeback story.
Every medium-sized city in the Midwest is chasing manufacturing jobs. It's a global economy. Everybody is competing as aggressively as they can. They're going to fight like the Dickens to maintain their positions.
South Bend says, okay, but they have another advantage. The University of Notre Dame is here.
Everybody knows what Notre Dame in Ireland is. I mean, the Fighting Irish and everything else.
Terry Fox runs the company Cupprint. They make paper cups.
Sounds boring. Paper cup manufacturing sounds like a boring thing.
But successful. He won a contest for entrepreneurs that connected him to Notre Dame. Then he decided to stay in South Bend. He's the Studebaker building's first tenant.
I find in South Bend it's very easy to get things done. I mean, if access to the business community very simply. I mean, I'm at this function tonight in Chicago. It's just too big.
Fair enough. But in Chicago, entrepreneurs also have access to more opportunities, meaning investors. I had breakfast with Chris Murphy, the CEO of First Source Bank.
Two eggs over lightly.
I asked him, why would a hotshot tech guy, say from India, choose South Bend over Boston or the Silicon Valley? His message, Indiana is a lot more affordable.
That's attractive. And how do we get that out? We get it out one person at a time. I mean, the gentleman sitting across from me, Nitesh, he's attracted people from around the world here to be with him and his team. And you got to drag them into town. They're screaming coming in, and then they don't want to leave.
Gentleman across the table.
Nitesh Chawla. So I'm a professor of computer science at the University of Notre Dame. I'm also a founder of this company, Analytics, which is a data science software and solutions company.
Chawla, who is from Mumbai, had a choice of universities and jobs. He's a big fish here, though. He also liked the spirit in South Bend. For example, what they're trying to accomplish at the old Studebaker building.
It makes us believe and realize that, yes, South Bend was a center of this innovation and the center of automobile revolution back in the day. And then also makes us realize that if we don't keep innovating, it can all go away.
So we're in the cage of an elevator that was designed to hoist cars up and down.
That's Mayor Pete Buttigieg again. We get off on the sixth floor at the old car factory, a vast empty space the size of 1.5 football fields.
This was the beating heart of our entire region. And then one day in the 1960s, the last car rolled off the line and it was over.
Despite the boosterism, and there's a lot of it in South Bend, Buttigieg says they're not naive. He knows there won't be 30,000 people working at the old Studebaker campus. They're shooting for 3,500 within a decade. And he won't promise a return to the way things were. But he's tired of going to ball games and looking up at broken windows.
These are kind of our temples, these factories. And the question is, you know, are they destined to be empty, or are we going to harness the same kind of forces that brought them here and get them to the next level?
For The World, Jason Margolis, South Bend, Indiana.